Everybody another minute or so. Well, I hope it's bright and sunny wherever you are.
I'm not sure yet.
Right.
It's always a lot. Most of the time, it's a little overcast here in the morning. Simply, we're about 14 miles from the beach. But you never know. Other days, it's really sunny. Today, it's a little overcast.
But the sun's not quite up yet where you are, is it?
I've walked this early, and it is sunny at this time.
Okay.
It's come up. Yeah. It's just hidden today. Hiding out.
Okay, well, let's take a minute just to kind of ground, center ourselves. Get a sense of our connection with one another. Not just the ones that are here in person or electronically, but all the other beings who are consciously striving, working to create a new and better world. And that we can contribute to that or not, depending upon where our focus is. If it's on growth and stretching, the possibility of joy and peacefulness, or the other side of things that we find ourselves bogged down in judgment. Fear. We can change that. The choice doesn't always rest with our feelings and our emotions, because sometimes it will, even if we change our thoughts. Our emotions might not change right away. So we don't use our emotions as being a measuring stick of the success, the spiritual success of changing our thinking. We know that the feelings will follow eventually. So we open ourselves up to the realization of the truth that we are. And we release any limitation or if we can't release it, we open ourselves up to allowing it to heal. And we know that as we heal, we contribute to the healing of everyone and everything. So, good morning. Let's see where we're at here. We ended up at the little bit on, well, it'll be a little bit of an overlap. But we ended up somewhere between page 251 and 252. So I'll begin with the quote that we ended with, or at least that I ended our reflections with on 251, towards the first paragraph, towards the top of the page. When you are in truth, you cannot be deceived by the small self's requirements to know herself in the encounters with others in the way she has decided they should be. As soon as you get into shoulds, it's a pretty good indication you're into lower consciousness. And again, we're not judging that as being wrong or bad. We're just looking at that as being limited. When you are in truth, you're unchanged from the expectations of your historical self because the claim of freedom, I am here, has been known and sung in the field you hold. And not just words, but it's energy. As you choose to go on this journey, as you align to it each step of the way, you give thanks for the lessons that come. Boy, we got a lot of lessons today. Sometimes I wonder, did we really attract all that to ourselves? If something happens in your life that requires you to see yourself as you truly are, and that includes in those ways that you have believed yourself to be but are not, in truth, you will give thanks for the opportunity to learn. How am I responding to this situation in my life? Through higher consciousness or through lower consciousness? Sometimes, and I think that's an important question to stop every once in a while and ask ourselves. But it's so easy in the world, for me anyway, in the world today, to get stuck in limited thinking, playing Ain't It Awful. Oh, did you hear what so-and-so did yesterday? Hear what they said? Can you believe that? The path that you are on as we go up the mountain is the path of the Christ, the awakened self, who must see all things with the eyes of the Christ and not be deceived. Excuse me. And not be deceived by the names things have been granted in low vibration. What is it that you are calling the truth today? And is that a reflection of higher or lower consciousness? Is it a limited truth or is it a universal truth? Paul has a question, and we will take it. We kind of ended with this last week. What do we do when we see injustice? Are we to bless it? How do we act? Do we fight when we see the need for a fight? Here is the true answer. When you are acting in fear, you may disguise it in many ways. The need for justice in many ways may be the need to reclaim a self that has been maligned. We will say to each of you, the freedom you have to grow, the freedom you have to grow will call to you circumstances that you need to participate in to continue to evolve. The question of what does one do when one perceives injustice, underline perceive, because you may be perceiving through history and not in truth, will be called forward to you by what is required. And the answer might vary from moment to moment, from day to day. What is required of me as I face this situation? Or is this particular situation, or this particular feeling arises in my life? What do I do with that now? I might be called to pray about it. I might be called to make a picket sign and walk around with it. I might be called just to calm myself and ask myself, how can I see this differently? There are all sorts of ways that I can respond healthily to situations that might be annoying, bothersome, or maybe even downright troubling. But don't expect your response today in this minute or this moment of time to be the same kind of response you can have tomorrow, because it might not be the same. Today I might be asked to pray, Lord, that I may see. May I see this person the way you see them. Tomorrow it might be getting lost in my own judgment and needing to let go of that or needing to allow that to transform. The day after that, it might be me getting caught up in my own anger and my own self-centeredness that needs the healing. So I don't know how it's going to show up tomorrow. Really, the only question is, how does it show up today? And what am I being called to do with that? And can I open myself up to the strength and grace that I might need in order to be able to follow that path? But if it's here, I call it to myself. Not something that's happening out there, something that's happening in here that I have called to myself to either learn, to focus on, to let go of, to transform, or to heal, or maybe all of the above. The action of the divine self is called forward in all circumstance, no matter what's going on. We are being challenged or being asked to look at this through my divine consciousness. When you know how you serve, you also know how to respond to everything that is called into manifestation before you. Do you see this? Do you comprehend this teaching? If you decide in advance there is one response to one situation, you are prescribing it, you're stuck. The divine as you, who knows who she is, will prompt the action that is required by you on whatever level is appropriate, if I'm open to it. The way Emily Cady put it was, God, I don't know the answer, you do, show me. Or put in more metaphysical language, excuse me, divine self, I don't know the answer through my lower consciousness, but I know you do. How did Thomas Merton put that in his wonderful prayer? I know you will lead me by the right way, even though I may know nothing about it. I know that you will lead me in the right way, even though I may know nothing about it. And the fact that I have the desire to please you does in fact please you. Boy, that's something to go back to again and again and again and again. Sums up so much of what the spiritual life is all about. Simply put, but beautifully put at the same time. The divine as you, who knows who she is, will prompt the action that is required by you on whatever level is appropriate. Not your small self figuring out what to do, but responding from divine consciousness, letting it flow to you and through you. Here's how I respond to this situation. You see a kitten in the mud. Use your hands to pick up the kitten. You are called to action by circumstance. But do not assume that how you were told to respond to something or not respond is something that is accurate and a requirement. The divine self as you will call you into manifestation in whatever circumstances are required. When you are truly attuned to divine consciousness, you don't have to ask what do I need to do. What you need to do will happen spontaneously. Your response to life situations will be loving, spontaneous, and without fear or judgment. I'm still working on that. Now we will say this to all of you as we end this section. And we will say this section will seal the last chapter. We will continue tomorrow with what we need to teach you about the encounter with the self that you are seeing before you. We thank you for each of your presence. So before we move on to the next section, let me summarize what I would consider to be a summary of that last section. And that is that the divine consciousness always knows how to lead you in the correct or best way possible. But in order to allow that to happen, I have to be aware that I am being held, that I am being led, that I'm being guided in the right direction, that I don't have to define I don't have to define my life situation by my history or by my small consciousness. I can be open to what our divine consciousness leads me. And let's just take a real simple example. I believe divine consciousness drew us here to be together on Sunday morning. You might say, oh no, I decided that last week, or I decided that this morning. I could have, yeah, you could have decided differently. And the mechanical means of getting you here, whether you're here in person or here by electrons, the mechanical means that were used to get you here, that's kind of the small self's view. I'm going to get in my car and drive to church. Or I'm going to not put my picture up and stay in my pajamas. Or whatever it happens to be. That's a choice made on a lower level of consciousness. It's fine. It's made on a lower level of consciousness. But it's not what brought you here to this particular place and this particular time and this particular example of learning and stretching and growing. That was more a divine consciousness, using small consciousness to get here, but not to be here. Being here is a reflection of higher self. Does anybody have anything there they'd like to explore before we move on to the next section? Yeah, John, did you speak into the mic? Sorry, guys.
Not when you ran over them and seemed so hopeless. You realize you can't see all the world problems.
Mm-hmm.
Seems so big. So I get in a parallel state. This is the part.
That's okay.
See, I was trying to answer it for me, hang up the whole possibilities.
And I do believe it is overwhelming to our small limited consciousness. And I don't mean to diminish that or pretend that that's not there, because it is. And actually, it was funny, less not funny, haha, but coincidental, I guess, in some ways. When Margot and I watched the news last night, and then we went into the kitchen to fix dinner. And I was reminded of a phrase from A Course in Miracles that said something to the effect of, my insane mind is showing me an insane world. My insane mind is showing me an insane world. That didn't use the word insane. There was another word there, and I can't quite remember what it was. And what I became aware of was I got lost in all of that stuff, the wars and the hatred and the starvation. I got lost in all that stuff being the truth. Now, certainly on some level, it's the truth. I'm not denying that. But I was being called on how am I going to respond to that? And as soon as sometimes this will happen to me when I'm waking up. As soon as I find myself falling into judgment or being overwhelmed, whatever the situation might happen to be, I know that I am being called to hold that in the light or hold it in prayer. Say, God, first of all, I need some help because I'm seeing an insane world. But I also know there's a lot of other people that seem to be caught up in that insane world as well. They need help as well. Let me open myself to be a conduit of healing, health, and well-being for anyone, including myself, who might need that. That's my choice. My other choice is just to be overwhelmed and say it's freaking useless. What good is my little prayer going to be against what's going on in Gaza? What's going on in Haiti, what's going on in the Ukraine. And again, on a small level, small self-consciousness, it's not going to do anything. Not going to seem like it's going to do anything. But on a higher level of consciousness, I think we are being asked, can I truly believe in the power of prayer? Prayer being my alignment to higher consciousness. And can I truly believe that something is happening with that? Even if I can't see it with my own physical eyes happening in the world out there, can I still believe there's something there that is changing the world, even though it doesn't look that way and even though it doesn't feel that way? That's my challenge.
Jerry.
The other side of that is certainly I can fall into helplessness, hopelessness, saying, well, what good is that going to be? What good is that? What good is it? And just fall into that same sense of insanity or being overwhelmed. That's certainly a choice of mine. But it always comes from low. My divine self is never overwhelmed. My divine self is never overwhelmed. So that's, to me anyway, I'm kind of glad I said that because I need to hear that myself. My higher self is never. So when I'm experiencing myself as being overwhelmed, I'm living in limitation. When I am experiencing what would be the opposite of being overwhelmed? Any way to describe that?
Peace.
Yes.
Peace, exactly.
Peace.
When I'm at peace. Now, peacefulness does not deny all of the stuff that's going on in the world. Still calls me to prayer. Still calls me maybe to send money to somebody. I mean, there's lots of different ways that I can respond to that in one way or the other if I choose to. So my question to my divine consciousness is, how can I respond to this in the most loving way possible? And then being open to the answer as it comes to you.
Gary.
Yeah.
So the A Course in Love has a quote that says, "Forgiveness looks on innocence and sees it, where judgment would see it not." And I think that that's helpful in the sense that I was thinking about when I read that, I thought, "Wow, Jesus on the cross, you've been beaten up, he had been crown of thorns and all these other things, and he's hanging on a cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And how profound. Thanks.
Thank you, John.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
On that, you said a lot. So, as a practitioner, when I'm sitting down with my clients, I have two ears open. One ear is listening to the narrative. Maybe they've come to me about lack or chaos or uncertainty or whatever the case may be. So I'm listening to their story. I'm acknowledging their story. What I'm also listening to is God, higher consciousness, divine, however you want to define that. I'm also listening to that as well to discern what is the truth with a capital T and all that. And because what I don't want to do is cause spiritual bypass. So I want to listen to them and acknowledge, yes, they're having some calamity, but I know that's a fact, little f, where God, divine consciousness, is eternal truth. And I have to know that it transcends that, all that. So an example, so let me say, years ago, my wife was making her transition. I had practitioners praying. But what the practitioners always told me is that when they went up to where Kim was in ICU, before they went into her room, they had to like excuse themselves for a moment to go ahead and get their mind right. Mind right is that they could not be of service to her if they saw her just in this room hooked up to these machines and tubes. They had to know the divine self, the God self within them. They can see healing, they can see wholeness in this. So I'm absolutely agreeing with you in terms of being able to hear with that one ear, but also hear the truth as well.
That's a great example of that, Jim. Thank you. There's certainly going to be times in our lives when I have the honest realization that in the mindset that I am in at this moment, I can't do you service. Give me a moment to adjust, to align, focus, right, in a way that would be of service to you, but certainly also be service to myself. But that awareness is so, it's beautiful the way you describe that, Jim. Thank you. Thank you. I'm wondering what it would be like if we took that, sometimes that little moment in time to simply be readjusted so I can respond to this person in a way that is most loving and most healing. If before that I'm all wrapped up in my own stuff or I'm angry or in judgment or whatever it might happen to be, and I respond that way, all that's going to do is increase the negativity. Yeah.
Think when people see chaos, that are overwhelmed, filled with powerlessness. And I think that part of it is to refocus where you are from. Obviously, your inner self is a very powerful being, but also it is to be realistic. Most of what people get overwhelmed with is not something that was created by one individual.
Right.
It was a multitude. And to realize our role. It's like, even if you thought that you were to devote your entire life to writing a book, it's like, you would have to have a love of reading the bottom. in order to do so. And then to realize that you do have to be open to what is coming into your life then, and to realize that you have the ability to have a very profound impact, and to embrace it. You know, like John had saying that the tiredness shuts down. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, I remember John saying something to me yesterday that had a very big impact on me, embracing, you know, becoming an elder. And so that's part of what it is to be open to where you do have.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt. A couple of things that Matt said were really, really struck me. One was that the consciousness, the chaotic consciousness that we might see in the news, is not the creation of one person. It's the creation of a collective consciousness that has chosen to buy into limitation. And that's been going on for years and years and years, maybe centuries, okay? And that, again, here's where my small self is going to feel totally overwhelmed. Who am I in my small self consciousness to try and even change that or turn that around? But then there's the other side. What gives me strength? What gives me power? How can I feed that part of myself? And by feeding that, I'm feeding the world as well. See, this is not an easy thing. Paradoxically speaking, as I was listening to you, Matt, the first words of the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous came into my head. It starts off by saying, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. I say, well, where the hell do I go from there? Okay. But see, that's the beginning of surrendering the small consciousness, the lower consciousness, to higher consciousness. In fact, the first three steps of AA or any 12-step recovery program kind of outline that whole process, which is paradoxically, I gain power by admitting my powerlessness. My powerlessness comes from my sense of limitation myself, of trying to do something that I can't do in my limited consciousness. But if I let go of my limited consciousness, there's a higher consciousness that moves in. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand. Total change in mindset and awareness. And each one of us, we do that as an individual, but we also do that as a group consciousness. To go back to the AA example again, is that somehow or another, this organization that was begun by two drunks, two men who admitted their powerlessness over alcohol, somehow or another has changed the lives of millions of other people. Millions of other people. How'd that happen? Freedom and responsibility. Page 255. We will ask you questions today about responsibility. What are you responsible to? Everything you see before you. How responsible are you to it? By consciously becoming aware of the truth that inhabits all things. As we go back to the idea of perception, we wish to bring to it a new understanding. What you see before you, you are responsible to. And as the one responsible, you must attend to it in consciousness. Albert Schweitzer once said, if ever there is a person who is lost, alone, hungry, or in despair, he is my responsibility. And you might say, well, that sounds very codependent. Again, on a limited circumstance, it is. It's terribly kind of a definition of codependency in some way. But on a higher level of consciousness, we are all walking one another home. There's nobody outside the picture. The boat doesn't leave until everybody's on it. As Jesus said, I don't walk through the doorway to oneness with the Father until everybody else has walked through first. I'm holding the door open. The boat doesn't leave, the Buddhists say in the school of Mahayana. The big boat doesn't leave until everybody's on. Are you my responsibility? Of course. How did Mother Teresa put it? The reason why you are not at peace is because you have forgotten we belong to one another. The reason why you are not at peace is because you have forgotten we belong to one another. Saying the same thing in a different way, we're all walking one another home. You are my responsibility, and I am yours.
Hey,
what
Jerry.
You see before you, you are responsible to. And as the one who is responsible, you must attend to it in consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just gonna probably just kind of piggyback on what you're saying. When I was going through my training, one of the assignments that I had to was required to do was avail myself to a 12 step program and make notes and comment on that. And what I observed, it was wonderful. I got a lot of value from that. Now, Jim's come to realize that I have to integrate a spiritual, what I call a spiritual hygiene daily in my routine before I go out into this thing called my world, my life. And the times that I have not, when I've been negligent in that, I can feel the vibration, I can feel the energy because I haven't aligned myself with the higher source. So, I mean, I have 3x5 affirmations, man. I can hardly actually see my mirror in my bathroom because they're reminders to me because I know that I will forget. So I have to continue to have these reminders to allow myself to be able to see beyond my humanness and my ego what I'm going to see when I go out into into the world. So it's just, I had a person who once said, man, is that your crutch? I said, yes, it is. Thank you. Yes. That supports me because I understand that if I didn't do this, it's so easy for Jim to get caught up. So that's just my comment.
Yeah, thank you. And I think it's also important to remember that those of us who have been positively exposed to higher consciousness have a responsibility to those who have not had that experience. I am sure there have been times in my life, I know there have been times in my life, when I have been held up, when I couldn't hold up myself. In fact, there are some times that I wonder, let's say when I'm in a down place, not necessarily a deep, dark depression, but a place that sucks anyway. And somehow or another, I get lifted out of that. And it's always been a wonderment to my mind, thinking about this. Is there some little monk 5,000 miles away who's praying for me? Might not even know who I am, but praying for those who are aligning himself or herself to those beings who are working on their own or struggling to be in alignment. And I do believe that's true. I believe that people enter into our mind, people we haven't thought of in 50 years. They enter in our mind for one reason, that we might hold them in the light, that we might pray for them. Not that you have to call them up on the telephone, not that you have to relive a whole bunch of memories. So-and-so came into my mind today, and you know what? My holding them in the light in the unique way that is coming from my persona, my personality, and even my ego consciousness, my unique way of holding them in the light is exactly what they need in that moment. Why else would they be there? Oh, it's just a fluke, just a chance. Or was it real? What you see before you, you are responsible to. And as the one responsible, you must attend to it in consciousness. Now, someone in low consciousness who is not vibrating at a high level will attend to something he sees in the only way he knows, through the idealization of the thing before him as what it appears to be. In other words, I get sucked. I miss the illusion and I make it into a reality. As you lift your vibration, the appearances change. What appears to be injustice may be something very different. What is seen as a great opportunity may be perceived differently as well. What is perceived as being a horrible thing to have happened to me might turn out to be one of the biggest blessings in my life. I don't see that at the moment. I don't experience that at the moment. There it is. That could be a sickness, could be an illness, could be loss of someone, could be a lot of different things. Could be loss of a job. And John has talked about this a number of times. Sorry, I'm bringing you into the picture, John. Hope you don't mind. All right. But the loss of his job, which was an awful, horrible, terrible thing, you know, in some ways has turned out to be a blessing in some ways, in ways that he could never have been predicted. I'm sure there's still struggle there. I'm sure I wish this were different right now in this particular moment. But at the same time, there is a deeper awareness that, you know, I'm being exposed and I'm learning some stuff that is joyful for me. Mind-boggling, mind-expanding, and things that I'm coming in contact with that I never would have happened if I was not going into this job search again. I mean, that's just one example. I think we've all got examples in our lives like that. What appears to be injustice may be seen as something very different. What is seen as a great opportunity may be perceived differently as well. We do not wish to codify your responses to things. In other words, as soon as this happens, I'll respond this way. Don't make it into a formula. Behold, I make all things new. How I respond to this today, or how my divine self responds to this today, might be different about how it responds to this maybe even 5 minutes from now. We do not wish to codify your responses to things, but we will tell you this much. Very lovely things can often conceal a low vibration. And what appears to be low actually be the opportunity to lift to a high place, not only for the individual who perceives, but for all who encounter it. I'm thinking out loud of to the Diary of Anne Frank. There's this beautiful little girl who is in this horrible situation, who is somehow or another finding love, finding peace, finding joy. And look at how many lives she has touched. Helen Keller, blind, deaf, mute, raised like a little animal in her family before the miracle worker came. Look at how blessing she's become, not only to herself, but to other people as well. Overcoming. In other words, not identifying with my handicap. That's not who I am. Just that one incident where Ann Sullivan put her hand under a pump with water coming out and had the water spilling over her hand, and then put the sign symbols on her hand for water, WATER, blew her mind. Oh, made that connection. This thing that is wet and cold and thirst quenching, right, is water. It has a meaning, it has a purpose, it has shapes, it has colors, it has size, it is all, blows it. The whole paradigm changed. Like one magical moment. The temptation to make a decision, or a decision that you would have made when you were taught to see, is very different than the decision you will make through your own knowing in alignment with truth. Now, when you vibrate in truth, all things are seen differently. I see this person who is filled with arrogance, hatred, fear, judgment. All of a sudden, I see them as a person in pain. Oh, that changes things. I remember a priest friend of mine was telling this story on himself. He said he was at a cocktail party, and he was talking to a psychiatrist friend of his. And he was describing this student he had, who was just obnoxious, self-centered. It was all about him. The psychiatrist friend sort of took a step back and looked at him and said, John, have you ever had a toothache? He said, yeah. He said, who were you thinking about when you had your toothache? Are you thinking about anybody? I don't know, I was thinking about me. I was thinking about me and how to get rid of the pain I was in. That was my focus. And as soon as he started giving that answer to that question, I bear that too. He went, oh, this horrible, nasty, obnoxious student that I had is a person in pain. Never realized that. I got caught into the externals of how I was describing and judging him or her, and lost the fact of the truth. The reason why they are responding to me or responding to life this way is because they are in pain. Might not be able to change that, but my realization of that changes the whole picture. And I might need to change that again. Again and again. Let me do that paragraph again, and then we'll do a meditation. The temptation to make a decision, or a decision that you would have made through what you were taught to see, is very different than the decision you will make through your own knowing in alignment with truth. Now, when you vibrate in truth, all things are seen differently. You all idealize truth in a certain way as something you can understand, I know the truth of that situation. Simply means that you have decided it. To know the truth in any situation, the true truth, the only truth that lies beyond the layers of misperception, would be that I know that I am seeing the divine. And if it's not that, it's not true. They didn't put that in there, but that's what they're saying. If I'm not seeing the divine, it ain't true. Let me read that last piece again so I can remember it. You all idealize truth in a certain way as something you can understand. In other words, you make it into an intellectual process. It's not. I know the truth of this situation simply means that you have decided it. That's what this means. I know what this means. To know the truth, and they follow it up though, to know the truth of any situation, the true truth, the only truth that lies beyond the layers of misperception, would be that I know that I am seeing the divine. And again, like I said, if I'm not seeing the divine, I'm not seeing the truth. If I'm not seeing the divine, I'm not seeing the truth. So let's take a couple minutes. Open up to that spaciousness where healing takes place, where there is no judgment, where there is no fear. So I would encourage you to close your eyes if you like. A couple of breaths. Breathe deeply. Kind of feel your body relaxing, softening. There is around you and within you an energy of peacefulness. Of joyfulness, of wonder. That's the truth. It is always true that you know the truth of who you are. It's always there. You might lose touch with it consciously, but it is always there. The words of Jesus, the words of the Christ consciousness, I am with you all days, even to the end of the world. I have never, I will never, I have never left you alone. And allow yourself to be with that for a moment. I will never leave you alone. if you choose to, you can commit yourself to being open to the work and the essence of divine consciousness through you today. That I am open to be reminded, especially when I fall into forgetfulness. I am open to be reminded of the truth of who I am. And of course, that means also the truth of who you are as well. Become aware of the rhythm of your breathing again, beating of your heart. Know that the hearts of all beings are yearning for the same truth, same peace, the same light that you are, no matter what appearances might look like. Another deep breath, stretching a bit, and opening your eyes when you're ready. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Jared.
Happy Mother's Day to all
you. Thank you, Jerry.
Happy Mother's Day,
Thank
everyone.
Thank you.
Take good care of yourselves.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.